from St. Louis Public Radio. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. Missourians have a lot of important policy decisions to make this year, including whether to repeal a 2024 abortion rights amendment and curtail the initiative petition process. And thanks to the Missouri legislature, they'll also decide whether to expand sales and use taxes as a way to get rid of the state income tax. This plan is the cornerstone of Governor Mike Kehoe's policy agenda. And he said this week in Hazelwood, he's ready to sell the plan to voters.
Well, the message is simple to voters. $9 billion a year comes out of their pocket and goes to the government. We're proposing that they keep that money and make the decisions on how they spend that. So obviously, I hope that that's the message that gets through. And I'm not aware that, you know, anytime you have a campaign issue, you got to assume there's somebody who doesn't like it. What that organization will look like, I don't know, but we'll do our best to make sure Missourians understand the benefits to them and their family.
But as Kehoe alluded to, the tax plan could have a lot of opposition from groups that could be affected by an expanded sales tax and perhaps even a bipartisan coalition. A number of Republicans voted against the plan, including State Senator Joe Nicola of Independence.
I don't have, Mr. President, I don't have one constituent that is talking to me about income tax except to please vote no on this. The beginning of session, our priority was property tax reform. 4 weeks later, left, I'm still waiting.
Joining us now to break down how this consequential tax plan works is Aaron Hedlund, a Columbia-based economist who is a member of the White House Council of Economic Advisors. Hedlund testified in favor of this ballot item earlier this year. Aaron, welcome to the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air.
Thanks for having me on.
Why do you think it would be better for Missouri not to have an income tax?
Yeah, that's an important question to start with, because the reality is Missouri economically has not been doing very well over the past 25 years. Over much of that period, we have been bottom 10 in terms of economic growth. We have shrunk as a share of U.S. GDP. We have been essentially almost the 10th worst in terms of population loss. Of course, we do always have Illinois to our east. That tends to do even exceed us in terms of population loss. And thankfully, we've done a little bit better over the past 10 years with the income tax reductions we've seen. But the reality is we are getting dust in our face from states like Tennessee and Texas and Florida, who are just doing far better than us. And the income tax is the most damaging tax we can have when it comes to economic growth.
We had several subscribers to the brand new Politically Speaking newsletter write about Kehoe's proposal, including Warren Danziger. And he writes, 9 states do not have an income tax, while 40 states plus Missouri do. Missouri is more like the group of 40 states than the other 9. And I think what Warren is saying is that a lot of critics of this plan point out that the other non-income tax states either have a lot of oil, a lot of tourism, they're very small, like South Dakota, and that Missouri doesn't have something distinctive that would allow them to not have an income tax. You've probably heard that argument before. What would you say to that?
Yeah, so the first thing I'd say to that is, this is why I like Tennessee is the best comparison. I mean, I do think it's a little bit unfair to characterize Texas as just an oil state. It's a very diversified state. The city of Dallas is just completely whooping St. Louis when it comes to economic performance in a lot of different industries. But I do like Tennessee as the example, because the idea that Tennessee is doing well because of honky-tonk and country music is just not the reality. 70% more Missourians moved to Tennessee than the other way around. And that includes a lot of people who don't really care about country music. And so the key thing there is they don't have beaches. They don't have massive reservoirs of oil. It is economic policy that is better there. And that's something where Missouri has a huge lever. And the fact that we don't have some major distinctive is actually another reason why the income tax is so important. We are solid on a number of different things, but we need something that makes us stand out to keep businesses here and to attract them. And this would be something that would put us on a list at the top tier of places to relocate to.
Governor Kehoe wants to expand the sales tax to certain services, and he specifically pointed out in his State of the State, like, Audible subscriptions. I have often pointed out Fortnite Battle Passes because, for full disclosure, I subscribe to Fortnite Battle Pass for like $11.99 a month. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, that all services in Missouri were taxed, no exceptions, and we'll get to that point in a second. Would that be enough to recoup the $9 billion brought in every year through the income tax?
Well, so first of all, I would characterize the amendment somewhat differently, which is that the guaranteed thing we would get from the amendment, if it passes, is we'd get revenue triggers, which would prevent government from growing in the way that it has been. And that overall reduction in the tax burden, while preserving existing services, would allow us to get the income tax down over time. What it also does, which is what you've highlighted, is it authorizes the sales tax base to be expanded to accelerate the income tax reduction. And the key protection there is that every single dollar that would be brought in by a potential expansion of the base would have to be offset by at least a dollar of income tax reduction at the state level, in addition to property tax reduction at the local level or a lower sales tax rate. The other point I would make is that right now, when people buy services, that is being taxed because it came out of their paycheck. So the idea is we're eliminating the paycheck tax and then giving people choice over how they spend their dollars.
So I want to provide you with a specific real-life example about how a sales tax on services could affect consumers. So my wife and I recently redid our will and were charged by an attorney $2,000. And there, as you kind of alluded to, there was no tax on that. We can quibble about whether that tax came out of our paycheck. But if there was a sales tax on it, I did the calculation here, we would have to add another $190 to that $2,000. So wouldn't an increased cost like that incentivize someone to not get a legal service or any type of service if it's more expensive?
So I'd say there's a few points there. One is, you know, your paycheck, your and your wife's paycheck, wouldn't be taxed. So you'd have more money to start with. Number two, the attorney who you would have done the will with, they would no longer have an income tax, which would allow them to charge a lower price. So those things offset the tax that you're talking about that would be charged if it's expanded to that. But that's a key point you raise, which is that when we talk about sales tax base expansion, right now the sales tax base is very archaic. It was basically from 90 years ago is when the sales tax was put in place in Missouri, back when it was a very goods-focused economy. And lower-income people tend to spend a larger share of their budget on goods, whereas services, many of which are like luxury services or high-end services, are not taxed. So a broader sales tax base would actually make the sales tax far more progressive than it currently is.
Governor Kehoe has said he does not want to expand sales taxes to healthcare, agriculture, or real estate services. But if too many things are exempted from an expanded sales tax, doesn't that risk creating huge shortfalls that could result in cuts to state governmental services?
Yeah, so first of all, on the issue of healthcare, I can tell you we would be a top healthcare state if we simultaneously don't have a sales tax on healthcare and we don't have an income tax. So that would be tremendous, especially when you think about America's seniors, because it would be a great place for, you know, nurses and doctors and other providers to come, which would expand healthcare access. But you do raise a very good point, which is you don't want to create too many exceptions. Right? The more exceptions you make, that doesn't mean there's a lower burden. It just means that the rate has to be higher on everything else. So the broader the base, the lower the rate can overall be, and that would enable, again, a very rapid reduction of the income tax. And a key point I would raise for all your listeners, this is not about cutting the pie in a different way. This is about how do we get a bigger pie in Missouri. And that's why the Council of Economic Advisors, when it put out the report in January, found that the typical middle-of-the-road worker in the state would see their wages increase by nearly $3,000 from higher economic growth.
We've talked a lot about expanding the sales tax to services. Would this amendment allow the legislature, without a vote of the people, to raise the actual rate of the sales tax, which is now at about 4.225% for the state? That doesn't include city or county sales taxes.
So the amendment would not change the authority that the legislature already has to play with rates. But the key thing is it actually puts greater protections than voters already have. And the greater protections would say that you have the revenue limit, right? Any changes to rates, any changes to the base would be subject to this revenue limit, meaning all the dollars would have to be funneled out to income tax reductions. Jefferson City would not be able to retain any of that. Moreover, when it comes to the base expansion component, at least a dollar for dollar reduction in income tax from that. And at the local level, a broader base would enable property tax reductions.
We had another subscriber to the Politically Speaking newsletter named Patricia Yeager, who, by the way, is a retired university professor who taught accounting, right in. Although you can deduct sales and local taxes on your federal income tax return, you have to itemize your deductions. Most people only qualify for itemization if they own a home. Most of the people who are hit hardest by this proposal do not own a home, but the higher income people it's designed to help do. And that kind of dovetails with probably the main argument you hear against this, that this would hurt people with lower incomes and help people with higher incomes, which I'm sure, again, you've heard a lot through this debate. What would be your response to that?
Yeah, I'd push back against that characterization in a couple different ways. First of all, I already referenced, you know, right now the sales tax base is entirely on goods, which low-income people spend a larger share of their budget on compared to services. So if you broaden that base to services, especially at the local level, you can actually shift some of the sales tax from low-income spending goods towards higher-income spending services. Secondly, when it comes to low-income people, the biggest thing we can do for them is make sure that wages go up and there's more job openings and job opportunities. You know, why is it that Missouri does worse than other states? It's not bad luck. It's not bad dirt. It's bad policy. And this can absolutely fix and address that. And again, this is not just a tax switch. This is an overall tax reduction because of the revenue limits.
You mentioned earlier that eliminating the income tax would make Missouri a more attractive state to move to. In the last minute or so, can you just provide some evidence that you found as an economist that this does create an incentive for people to move to a state? And by this, I mean not having an income tax.
Yeah, so first of all, I mean, people can see detailed evidence if they want to go to the, you know, White House Council of Economic Advisors. We have a report on the economic effects of state income tax elimination. But in short, just kind of a couple ditties to throw out there is that, you know, again, 70% more Missourians moved to Tennessee than the other way around. And that's not just honky-tonk and country music. Secondly, if you look at prior to the income tax reductions that we started about a decade ago, we were losing the moving with their feet income race to Kansas, and we were just kind of holding even with California. Ever since we started reducing the rate from 6 to 4.7, we're now beating Kansas and also beating California. So we've shown progress, but the states that are really out front, you know, three which I've highlighted, you know, they stand out because they don't have income tax limit at all.
My timekeeper abilities are a little suspect. We actually do have time for one more question in the last minute or so. If this ends up passing, why do you think Missourians should trust the legislature to actually create the right tax policy that is going to make this work?
So first of all, I'm never going to say trust the legislature. I think the amendment actually provides more protections than without the amendment. And the key protections it provides is the revenue limit that prevents government from growing in the way that it has been, and there's a guarantee that dollar for dollar, any sales tax changes that occur have to result in tax reductions elsewhere. So this is a pro-taxpayer, pro-reduction in cost of living, pro-economic growth, grow-the-pie kind of amendment. And that's exactly why I would suggest that people go for it.
Aaron Hedlund is a Columbia, Missouri-based economist who is a member of the White House Council of Economic Advisors. Hedlund testified in favor of this ballot item earlier this year. Aaron, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on.
This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air.
This episode was produced by Jason Rosenbaum.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.